But what happened, Patty? Chick was a math professor at Georgia State, and I was a photographer at Delta Airlines from 53 to 63. And
what a great job.
It was. I traveled all over the world. It was. And there's a woman in that job today. And in my pub at home, which someday you'll see, I have black and white pictures of all the celebrities that I photographed during 53 to 63. And in those, I did Bob Hope twice. But when Gregory Peck got off of one airplane and got on another, that was news. And we would shoot it, and we would always be a Delta in the on the tail or in their, in his ticket.
Yeah.
And I'd run it down to the AJC. There were two of us. We used to take turns. I would do the lab one week, and he would do the shooting, and we'd reverse the following week. But the AJC would print those pictures. Gregory Peck was here, you know. So all of that, I told Paul, they have organized all those pictures now. And so there's a lot of history in the archives at Delta Airlines. When David Vaughn and I were photographers, we didn't bother. We didn't take any time to do it. But now they got it all archived and everything. And I told Paul, I've got one of the last pictures of the Dorsey brothers. Before one of them died. I don't remember which one died first, but on the steps of a DC-3.
Wow.
I mean, there's all that history that's out there that you all may not have known about.
Oh.
But going back to creative loafing, because I traveled all over and I was into classical music, and I would always get a guide or something on where the opera's going to be or that kind of thing. So I became addicted to guides around the world. And then when I had, in those days, they made women who were pregnant at Delta, and all the stewardesses, and even if they got married, you had to quit. And until the stewardesses sued and they finally got their rights. But anyway, but I was tired. I was ready. 10 years of traveling was enough.
Yeah.
And so I started a child photography business, and Chick started a print shop in our basement. We were looking for a way to live on one salary because we started our family after we'd been married 5 years. So Chick, we were always attended lectures down at Georgia State. And in 1971, there was a series of lectures with Joseph Campbell, Vilikovsky, who wrote Worlds in Collision. He was an astronomer and a friend and colleague of Einstein's. Nobody knew these people were coming to Georgia State. And in the 60s, Robert Frost used to come to Agnes Scott, and nobody knew that.
And you
had Alan Watts, who came to the Quaker House, and nobody knew that. So you had all these famous people.
Alan Watts was
Oh, yeah. We used to go see him whenever he came to town.
Oh, my gosh.
So you had all this wonderful, these resources going on, and nobody could care. And, in fact, Mrs. Velikovsky talked to Chick and me after his lecture, and they were appalled that the city of Atlanta only turned out about 25 people. And I knew there was an astronomy club because in my guidebook, we put together all the organizations and the presidents and their home phone numbers. So if a newcomer came to Atlanta and was into collecting stamps or square dancing, they could always look in the back of this book and they could get in touch with the Square Dance Federation.
Yeah.
And so we had all this knowledge of all these things going on in Atlanta that nobody knew about, and we were trying to update our guidebooks once every 2 or 3 years, but there was no way to be current. So after we did the zoo guidebook for the city, we spent that money, blew it, on a publication we printed three issues, The Guide to Creative Loafing in Atlanta. And in fact, there was a shampoo or something that had hairspray, PSST. What do you call it? The ellipse?
Yeah.
That was our logo and the guide to creative roofing underneath. And we blew all the money we made on our zoo guidebook on these three publications. Because I was a photographer and Chick was a math professor. We were not journalists. We were not marketers. And then we had a friend and here's something else that was going on at that time. ACTA, the Atlanta Coal Type Association. That was Dorsey Biggs. He's no longer around. But he came to town and he started printing once a month all the bargain printers' equipment, folders, whatever. And we were buddies because we helped him in the association, and he told us, you're doing this all wrong. See, we were printing 100,000. We got Colonial grocery stores to give it away, Jacob's drug stores, and the American oil stations. But nobody knew. They'd be waiting in line at the grocery store, and they'd see this buggy with a... made little lace thing, covers, you know, to disguise the basket. Mm-hmm. And there was this funky newsprint magazine called Psst, and nobody picked it up. So he told us we were doing it all wrong. You need to do it weekly. See, we're trying to do it monthly. I don't know if you've ever noticed Atlanta Magazine. You cannot do a decent calendar on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever been the program director of a nonprofit, you don't get your act together till the night before.
Yeah.
So that's just human nature.
Yeah, yeah.
So we listened to Dorsey, and we went from 100,000, I think it was a 32-page newsprint magazine, which we got the idea from What's On in London. It was a newsprint magazine then. It was a competitor of, what's the one they've got over there now? I think What's On's still on over there, but there's one now that's in New York City, and you know, you'll think of it in a minute. No, it's what's going on in New York City next week. And I think they've got one in LA now, and we'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, What's On in London had a glossy cover, and we didn't want to go to the expense of a glossy cover. So we just did newsprint, but it was stitched. And it took 3 days because you had to get it trimmed, three sides. And so every day you lose in a calendar is a day of information you've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to the newspaper. I remember Chick coming home. We were up all night getting that first issue out. We did it all in our home. And we did 8 pages and 12,000 circ. We distributed them at every college campus, every art gallery. I don't know if you ever remember, I think her first name is Anna. The gallery at 14th and Peachtree, Gallery Alien. Annabelle Alien. Did you ever know her?
No.
No.
Oh, that's she.
We've been trying to find something about that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, there's a whole... Do you know the Greater Atlanta Arts Council?
No.
Greater Atlanta Arts Council, and I bet you some of those people are still around. They're right in your ear that you're researching.
Oh my gosh,
because
right.
I went to one of their meetings, and they gave me an opportunity to pitch everybody to help me get creative loafing started. And Annabelle helped me. And all the galleries, at that point in time, all the major galleries were between the Fox Theater, and there was one right around the corner from there on Ponce, but in the same building, all the way down to the art center, and that every major gallery in Atlanta existed in that. There was nothing in Buckhead, of course, nothing downtown.
Do you know why that was? That's something we've been curious. It seems to go all the way back to the Cotton States Exposition. That was kind of the artsy bohemian era of Atlanta. And going, wow, what hit it there?
And they all settled there. They all, you know, bought in the apartment. And
Annabelle would be the... I wonder if she's still even
Annabelle?
In the phone
yeah.
book. Annabelle Illion, Illien. The last time, I haven't talked to her in 10 years. She started an adoption agency and adopted, you know, put together families over here with India kids. And just a wonderful woman. But she was right in the middle of that. And I think she was the one. She and there's somebody else. I'll think of her name. Gwen Beck. Does that name anything to you?
No.
Gwen Beck was the one who headed up the Greater Atlanta Arts Council. And what they did, they met once a month, and their function was to make sure that the what was it? The studio theater and at the Art Center. Or some recital or whatever, they didn't schedule it the same night so that there'd be, you know, a problem. And so I got in front of, in fact, I have the letter that I used to pitch them on what I envisioned for creative loafing. And that's how I got the galleries to pay me $3 a week to run their listings. And Chick and I were able to publish this paper and make enough money each week to pay the bills. And we did it. One out of the 8 pages was bowling scores. And I wish I could have found that book. I'll find it. I think I realized later this morning where that book is upstairs. We've got them all over these bound books. But the first book is the one that you all would be most interested in. But we used to have to call on Monday morning, all these bowling lanes, and ask them, who made a strike this week? And they loved it. And we distributed in art galleries and college campuses in bowling alleys. But they were angry with the AJC.
Cross-section.
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh. But anyway, we had so much cooperation. We had, Magic Market.
Yeah.
Remember those?
Yeah.
The guy who ran them hated the AJC, and he let us set up every one of them in the whole city. Now, some of them didn't get rid of any, but yeah, some of them got rid of a whole bunch. You know, we could leave a bundle at the front door, and they'd all be gone in a day. And So
where did you... did you study photography in school?
I went to RIT, Rochester Institute of Technology.
Rochester.
Yeah.
I played frisbee golf in Rochester.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. Ellison Park. Did you ever go to Ellison Park when you were up there?
Listen, this was in 53. Well, I graduated.
Yeah, Patty. It may not have been a park then.
I mean, it was downtown.
It was a beautiful area. Yeah, I got to stay downtown looking. Uh-huh. Yeah, I enjoyed Rochester.
Oh, yeah, except for the cold.
Except for the cold.